And hold.
Whoa, there we go. Hold on just 1 second. Matter of fact, y'all just talk a bit. Y'all can talk amongst yourself for just one more minute. I came home from the hospital last night. I got home at about 11:30, took a bath, and finished working on this before I went to sleep. And so I did forget something. I got to go ahead and add it in there. I know y'all never forgot anything, have you? That's awesome. That's awesome. Did you hear what Doug said? He did one time, but he can't remember what it was. Yeah, a wife will know what it was. That's funny. There we go. There we go. Now we're ready. Now we're cooking with grease, I hope. All right. Today's Father's Day. And so DC and Daniel has always, not always, when they got a little older, they called me Pop or Pops. And, of course, Linda's children call me Pop. And so, but not only do they call me Pop, all of DC and Daniel's friends call me Pop. So I'll be somewhere and someone go, hey, Pops. And I'll look around and I'm trying to figure out who I'm looking at because I know they've grown beards and they've grown up and they got kids. And I saw a guy last night where we're coming out of the elevator. Lynn and I were coming out of the elevator at the cancer center. And this guy walks up and I said to myself, he looks familiar. And he goes, hey, Pops. Okay. So sometimes what I tell people all the time is, I stole this from Benny, is I'm not bragging, but I can't think of anything I can't forget. All right. But to the best pop in the world, this is so creative. Popcorn. So I can get come up here, young Skywalker. Young Skywalker, come up here, girl. Come on up here, both of you. If y'all will pass these out to all the men in here, no matter how old they are, just pass them out to them, okay? They get two apiece. They're high poppers. Two apiece. So it's pop, pop, fizz, fizz. Pop, pop, fizz, fizz. What a good dad you is. That's cool. Everybody got? Let's see. One, two, three. Yeah, I think I got enough there. Four. There you go. All right, everybody got them? Wouldn't it be cool if we could just make everything wonderful like that microwave? Yeah. Yeah, Don, there's a suggestion that you go back in the kitchen and make us popcorn. Oh, okay. Do I now? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I got a card last night from, I started to say Deanie and John. Jeannie and Don and the family that says, I can't remember all the words, but some of them were kind of out there because it said I was dignified. Sigh. But it said, as the eagle said, from the turkeys who love you. It was pretty cool. I meant to bring it today. Pastor David, you want me to go ahead and open it? Okay, I'll read the card. Okay, if I can. If you ever wondered whether you made an impact on somebody else's life or the things you shared have inspired hope and courage, or you have lived in a way that shows faith and integrity, oh, yes, you have. That's so awesome. You make a difference every day. Thank y'all so much. Thank God for you and your ministry. We love you and your family. Our prayers are with you daily. Love, Christian Women's Fellowship. Thank y'all so much. That is so, so awesome. They're awesome, aren't they? Yes, and I got a gift card. Thank you so much. I can tell you, Miss Bethany will take care of that for me. And if you want to see faith in action, just go see her. My daddy, who is Archie Bunker reincarnated, said that Bethany, he said, I've never seen anybody like Bethany ever. He said, I've seen a lot of people go through things, And thank you. Thank you, bro. Okay. Yeah. All right. No, we get all kinds. They got cake batter and yeah, whatever they want. They get to pick. They get to pick any kind they want. Cake batter, they got Reese cup, and they got all kinds of stuff out there. And there's one Brandon took one time. Brandon or Doug one. It was a chocolate one with dirt on top of it. Chocolate stuff. Remember that? And y'all said how good it was. I bit into it and lost four fillings. It just fell right out of my mouth. It was so sweet. I never ate those again. I think one of y'all two were talking about how sweet it was. I think it was one of y'all said it was too sweet. I think it was Doug said, oh, man. Yeah. And then it was funny one day. we were sitting down, and I knocked Doug's donut out of his hand. And so it fell on the ground, and I was he just started laughing. And I weren't laughing. Then all of a sudden, I started laughing. Everybody's laughing. And while I'm laughing, I hit my milk and knock it over. So here we go. I got a bunch of thieving guys with me. Every time I don't poke holes in my donuts, they get my donuts. And so I poke holes in them. Yeah, he pokes two holes in his. I poke a hole in all my donuts, so I know where my donuts are. He pokes two holes in his. All right. Top 10 reasons it's good to be a man. Aren't you glad you're, men, aren't you glad you're a man? Watch this now. Top 10 reasons it's good to be a man. Phone conversations are over in 30 seconds flat. Except for mine. Okay. My wife said, don't even go there. I said, yeah, I'm going there. All right. Watch this. This is cool. A 5-day holiday requires only one suitcase. Number 3. When clicking through the channels, you don't have to stall on every shot of somebody crying. I see us. Guys in hockey masks don't attack you unless you're playing hockey. That was a cool one. Okay, there it is. They're just playing hockey. All right. This is one of my favorites. You only need 2 or 3 pairs of shoes, and that's usually pushing it. All right. My wife said this here is the gospel that's ever been one. Car mechanics tell you the truth. Y'all guys, y'all know what I'm talking about. Your wife goes, all of a sudden they got to rebuild the transmission, put a whole new engine in. You go find out, and it was points and plugs. Amen. Number 7. Look at this. You can admire Clint Eastwood without starving yourself to look like him. I watched Clint Eastwood yesterday. He's pretty cool. I watched The Unforgiven. Bethany was watching some kind of Disney channel because you have 2 TVs in this room. And I was sitting over here watching Clint Eastwood. And she's over there watching The Hunchback of Notre Dame by Disney. I'm thinking, well, okay, if I got to choose between the two. All right. Number 8. Gray hair and wrinkles only add character to you. Look at all these characterized men in here. Look at all those. We all got so much character. There's enough character in here to start a comic book. Look at them. All right. We can do our nails during one traffic light. Y'all got to stop thinking about that one for a minute. That's funny. All right. Linda one day, her back was hurting. I said, you're trying to do your toenails? I'll do them for you. She said, oh, that's so sweet, dear. And when I got through, she looked down at her feet and she says, no matter how sweet it is, remind me never to let you do that again. I said, why? She says, look, I dipped my toes in the bottle. I said, well, may I got a little off the nail. She said, a little off there. You may have got some on the nail. The rest of it was on my feet. All right. I still love that one. We can do our nails at one traffic light. Watch this one. If another guy shows up at the party in the same outfit, you just might become lifelong buddies. Oh, that's funny. Okay, I got the top 12, right? There you go. Watch this. Oh, I love this. Matter of fact, y'all, when Bethany comes to church next Sunday, I want y'all to know something ahead of time. She's got a negative vacuum because she has a tumor almost the size of a small football inside of her, and it's dying, and there's a hole in it. And so they've put a negative pump, and they filled it full of stuff, and it's sucking out all the time, sucking out all the stuff. The stuff she's wearing a bandage for, she doesn't do anymore because it puts it in a pump. The only thing is the pump breaks wind about every 5 minutes. It goes. So I told her, y'all got to think of it, whoever's sitting by her, I told her, I said, when you get to church and it starts going, just go. So if you're sitting in church and you hear it go off, know that Beth is going to be pointing at somebody. All right, here it goes. The occasional well-rendered belch is practically expected. All right, and the greatest thing about this is we get to be dads. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Yeah. I won't keep you long because I need to get back to Bethany, but I didn't want to pass this opportunity. I thank my brother for filling in last Sunday, and you were awesome, especially when you said he was awesome. Yeah, go ahead. All I heard, I kept hearing how awesome you were, and he said, right about here, brother, they'd be telling the jokes. Right here, get ready. It was awesome. Absolutely. You were awesome, off the hook, awesome. Ready? Here we go. Watch this. It's time for us to claim our destiny. All right? Never underestimate the power of a father. I was sitting in Bethany's. I actually was right in this setting beside Bethany. Matter of fact, I've been there just about 24/7 for the last week. Since last Saturday night, I've been there just about 24/7. Left a couple times for some things, and Linda stayed there last night. But Linda's, it hurt her so bad, I've been getting her to go home at night, and I've been staying there. So sometimes it's me and Linda. Sometimes it's just Linda. Sometimes it's me. But this last time she was there 24/7, and I was in there in and out. This time I'm in there 24/7. But Bethany, bless her heart. I was writing this and I was thinking about her. So if this seems, when you look at this message today, I just ask you to think about it in a way that different than you've ever thought about it before. Because I wrote this different than I've ever wrote it. Okay, I was sitting there with Bethany when I wrote this. Okay, so y'all just think about that. All right, now, watch this. I want y'all to pay careful attention to this because this is very, very, very powerful. Matter of fact, we're not going to read a scripture to start with because we've got so many scriptures. We're just going to pray. Okay, let's pray. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for these awesome men that are here today, God. And the ones, Lord, I get a chance to work with these guys all the time, and all of them are absolutely awesome. God, I thank you for what they mean to me, and I thank you for what they mean to you. And Lord, I thank you, God, for the opportunity to be a father. And Lord, I thank you right now for my hero, Bethany, Lord. And again, I was beside her, guiding her and comforting her during all this while she was also guiding me and comforting me. I ask you right now, Lord, to bless her today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. All right, so here we go. Never underestimate the power of a father. You know how much power we have? I mean, y'all guys do that. Oh, y'all can do better than that. Do that. Do that. You got to put your arms up. Or, okay. All right. Here we go. Get ready. Here we go. Every man in here, whether you have a birth child or not, whether you have actually fathered children through your own genes or you're fathering somebody else's children, you know, I've got a chance. I've got a unique chance to father two kids and adopt a kid and then be a stepfather to two kids. And so I remember that song by Brad Paisley that said, I hope that I'm half the man that he didn't have to be. You know, that's a very powerful song, very powerful song. But here it is. All of us, we're all called to be a man. And when I say a man, I mean a man. I'm not talking about, you know, not some mamby-pamby, really, be a man, you know. And we're called to be leaders, and we're called to make a difference. And something I want to get in everybody's head today, everybody's head, especially the dads, is, and the Lord's kept telling me this, God said, Lord, you know, something that several nurses and doctors told me in the last week, and that was when Bethany says, they say, well, you look just like your daddy, looks like your mom, and Bethany will say, thank you, and then she'll go, you know, I'm adopted. And she don't have to tell them that, but she tells them that. And when she tells them that and tells them a little bit what she went through before we adopted her, and they'll say, God knew what he was doing when he put all of y'all three together. He knew what he was doing when he put his hand in the mix. And so, again, while I was sitting there with Bethany, the Lord spoke to me and said, it's not a mistake that you're her dad. And it's not a mistake that she's your daughter. And I want you to understand something. Every man in here, it's not a mistake that you're a dad. Matter of fact, some of y'all feel like you're a mistake. You feel like you mess up all the time. I mess up all the time. Good Lord. You know, I had to carry around Charmin with me and carry around Bounty. I'm always messing up. You know, but you know what? Again, it's not a mistake. Look, one of you men look at another man and tell him, it's not a mistake that you're a dad. Tell him. It's not a mistake. It's not a mistake. You may have gone through some rough times, but it's not a mistake that you are a dad. Some of y'all might cook a good steak, but you're not a mistake. Amen? So now, here's what I want to show you. Like I said, I want to be kind of quick about this. Did you know, never underestimate the power of the Father. Again, I'm sitting here with Bethany, and the Lord just starts ministering to me. So I start writing it down. Matter of fact, she went to sleep because she's good for about 15 to 30 minutes. Then she got to sleep for a couple hours. And so she was sleeping during this time. And so as she's sleeping, the Lord just started ministering to me. I was sitting by her bed. And again, the Lord spoke to me and said, to tell all you guys, not just me, but he spoke to me specifically at this time, but he said, give it to everybody. Your children are your divine assignment. Wow. Your children are your divine assignment. And again, if you don't have any birth children, there's other guys that are looking up to you that they are your divine assignment. There's people you work with, again, that come up and look up to you. That is your divine assignment. But especially, your children are your divine assignment. So now, God has called us as our divine assignment to provide fatherly spiritual, emotional, and physical encouragement. You know, we can't afford to be beat down all the time. You can't beat your children down all the time. The Bible says don't anger your children, because if you anger them, they're going to grow up angry, and they're going to grow up with a bad attitude about a whole lot of things. So if you find somebody that's angry, and I'm going to tell you something about you meet a person that's angry all the time, I'm going to tell you something. You may get aggravated with them and not be able to be around them, but if you want to really help them, understand something. If you get around an angry person that's angry all the time, underneath that anger is hurt. If you can peel away the onions, peel away one at a time, one leaf at a time, you peel it away, or one peel at a time, under that anger is hurt. And if you can find a way to ask God to show you how to help them deal with that hurt, number one, they'll stop being angry all the time. And number two, you'll wind up being a good friend of that person. So again, God's called us to be spiritual, emotional, mental, physical encouragers. And so today, again, the Lord spoke to me. It was like I was just sitting there, and he was kind of, you know, I was kind of feeling good about some stuff, and I weren't feeling good about others. I have to admit, sometimes I was sitting there going, ouch, 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 ouch. I thought the nurse could come in and give me some Band-Aids a couple of times. Watch, it's time to check ourselves. Ask ourselves. As parents and as grandparents. You know, Emmy and Anna Lane come up yesterday. And so I took them down to the window. I took them out of the room and right down the hallway is a big window. You can look out. And Larry, I can't even talk. Daniel and Michelle said, look, don't carry them downstairs because we're getting ready to leave. We can't stay a whole long time. So just keep them where we can see them so we can tell them when it's time to go. So I'll be right down here. So I was down at the other end of the hallway looking out this great big old set of the windows, and we were playing, and next thing I know, I mean, there were some people in there that were groaning because there's some sick people in that cancer center, and it seems like there's a death just about several times a week. There's a death up there. It's just bad stuff going up in that cancer center, and we're sitting up there, and I'm hearing this guy groaning in the next room. As I look over at Emmy and I look over at Anna Lane, and the grandpa kicked in, and so instead of hearing them groaning, all of a sudden, watch this. I went, I'm a gummy bear. Yes, I'm a gummy bear. Da 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 da. And all of a sudden, Hannah Lane starts going, I'm a gummy bear. I'm a gummy bear. And then Emma's going, I'm a gummy bear. And so I said, we got to keep it real low because people are sick. And so we danced, and we just danced and danced and danced out there in the hall. I thought nobody was looking. And so I carried the girls out because we had some gummy bears. And so I carried the girls out with their mom and dad. And when I'm coming back in, one of the nurses looked over me and she said, hey, Grandpa, I saw you down there dancing with your granddaughters. And I said, well, we're too loud. She says, no, y'all were precious. You know, so again, remember, you know, that time was a chance for me to minister to my grandyoungins. So again, think about your potential. Everybody in here has got potential. Every man in here, you got the divine potential because you are not, it's not a mistake that you're called to be a father. It's not a mistake that you're called to be a leader. And because it's not a mistake, God provides everything you need to do what you got to do to fulfill your divine potential. So I sit back and I hear this all the time. You know, when I'm ministering to people, it always, there's a difference in counseling and life coaching. Counseling, you dig into past. Life coaching, you kind of jump to the front. And so I get a chance to do both. And I love life coaching because I really like to go to the front and keep going to the future. But it seems like I'm always getting stuck back into past with folks. And so I see people just having problems. And along the way, here's something they were asking their dads that the dad never really heard them ask. I want you to think about it and think about you and your dad. Were these some of the questions you wanted to ask your dad or you ask all the time and you just really never said it out loud? Is there really affection? Do you love me, Dad? Can I be myself around you, Dad? Do you accept me as I am? Are you proud of me? Have I got affirmation? Are you watching me? Have you got attention on me, Dad? Did I do a good job? Am I a smart kid? Am I receiving approval? You know, and some of the stuff that we find out, actually, the more I study, sometimes I look back and when I was first starting out as a father, I'm going, wow, if I only had a known, I would have done it a little bit different. But of course, God knew what we needed, and so you got to trust God in that part. But once you get it, you better hold on to it. So watch this. Watch this now. Here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to claim our destiny today. The descriptions of our Heavenly Father and His care for His children is the path that we should walk. Again, the description of our Heavenly Father's and our Heavenly Father and His care for His children, us, is the path that earthly fathers should take. So here we go. I was working on another entirely different sermon, and 2 days ago, the Lord just spoke and said, "Nope, can it get rid of it? Here's where I want you to go." And so I said, okay, Lord. And of course, if I knew it was going to be that ouchie, I felt like I was handling the cactus the whole time I was doing it, but that's okay. Ready? I'm doing acrostic with Father. The first thing, it's time for us to claim our destiny. For the Lord your God is He who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Deuteronomy 20:4. First thing, God's called the fathers to be the fighter of the family. I love this verse. Matter of fact, I want to do this as a sermon someday. For the Lord your God is He who goes with you. In other words, God's saying, my presence is with you. Our children need our presence. But a lot of times we try to replace our presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, with presence, P-R-E-S-N-T-S. I remember one time, Daniel, I was coaching a football team. I coached all of Daniel's. I mean, I was coaching the school. It was amazing. The Lord opened up doors. I was coaching in the school and with teachers and stuff. We were out there coaching them. We were coaching football. And one day, Daniel was sitting there with some guys there was 3 or 4 guys on the team that their dads were all business owners. And they had the fanciest stuff you could get. There was a sporting shop in Smithfield that everything was $100 or more. It was just everything was really expensive. I would go to that store. I'd go to the Nike shop, and I would get the stuff that was very competent and nice, but it was only like $30 or $50. And they were having $100 and $200. Their gloves were $200, $300. Their gloves were $50. And still, they were nice gloves. They were very, very good stuff. And one day, Daniel looked at all those guys with all that fancy stuff, the fancy cleats and the fancy gloves and the whatever. This is baseball, I think, at this time, not football. whatever it was, they Daniel was looking at all their stuff, and Daniel said, y'all were some very lucky guys. And they said, why are we lucky? He said, look at what your daddy has bought you. And every last one of him, he come home and told me about this, crying and told me about this. He said, every last one of them looked at him and said, we'd rather have what you've got. And Daniel said, I've got $50 cleats and I got $50 gloves. Y'all got $200 stuff. And they said, no, you got a daddy who cares. And you got a daddy who comes out here every day and practices with us. You got a daddy who travels with us and takes care of us. Said, we would give everything we got if we could have a daddy to come spend time with us like that. So Lord spoke to me that day. It's not the P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S that counts. It's the P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E that counts. Amen? Just like right now with Bethany, we had all kinds of plans to do some stuff, and now all we're doing is trying to keep her alive. But you know what she desires more than anything? P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. Amen? I'm learning some very valuable lessons all over again at a whole different level with Bethany right now. So, the Lord will go for you, goes with you, and watch this, to fight against your enemies. What youngins need to see is us showing our power for them. Us standing up for them. Us making a difference in their life, not just walking away, you know, giving them a present, walking away and acting like nothing even matters anymore. We can't pick our head up from the television, pick our head up from a book or a clipboard or something. But they need to see that we're interested in them. They're there for them, and we've got our power. And not only that, but it says, and to save you. Here's what every kid needs to see from their father. Presence. Be there. Power. Actually pour into their life. And number three, protection. They need to know that you're there to protect them. Yesterday, Linda, when Linda's walking, because Linda's back hurts and all of her, she hurts all over. When we're walking and we got a wheelchair or something or a shopping cart, Linda says, let me hold it because it makes me feel better to push up against it from my back. Well, yesterday we had a long walk to the cafeteria. Bethany really messed up. She shouldn't have gone that far, but she had in her head she wanted to go. She's stubborn like that. She got that from her mama. So I said, Bethany, you know your mama likes to push against the cart. We got a wheelchair, and it's really nice wheelchairs. Don't even look like wheelchairs. It's like something out of a 2001 Space Odyssey. These are really awesome chairs. They don't even look like wheelchairs. And they're white and blue. And the only problem is they got to have more Duke blue on them. They got too much Carolina blue on them. And so I said, Bethany, do you want to push this cart so you can steady yourself? And she said, no, Dad. You just get beside me. And she locked on to me. Like, don't let go. Whatever you do, don't let go, Dad. And there we go through the hall. She grabs that arm. She don't want that thing. She wants me. Again, our kids need to see that we're concerned about them, and we'll get in there with them, and we'll fight, and we'll be there for them. So first, again, it's be a fighter. Be a fighter for your family and for your kids. Number two, it won't take long. I told you. I love this. And I asked God to show me specific verses that would go along with how he was talking to me about these words. Attentive. Are not five sparrows sold for two small coins, yet none of them have escaped the notice of God? Do you know that God has been to every sparrow's funeral since the beginning of time? Isn't it cool? God has been to he's attended every sparrow's funeral, because it says not one of them is, when they die, it says he notices every one of them. And even the hairs of your head have been counted. God knows how many hairs we got. Some of us, he don't have to count so hard. He's having to count less and less with me, praise God. Here we go. Do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. And so again, attention. You see, part of being attentive is when I'm showing my kid attention, it means I'm actually showing them more than just attention. I'm showing them their worth. Think about it. When you show your kid, your wife, whoever, when you show them attention, it shows their worth. If you can't get your head up out of that Bible because you're so holy, you got to read five more scriptures before you can talk to them. I got to get in my three chapters today. You hold on. Let me get through my three chapters today. And when I get through, I'll help you. God gave me the biggest lesson on that. Years ago, I was working swing shift, and I was trying to, we were starting a church and trying to pastor the church. And I was also a Boy Scout, Scoutmaster. And so there was too much going on between being a Scoutmaster, being a working swing shift, and being a pastor. It was just way too much. And as the church kept growing, more things were going on. I was having to drive back and forth to the church. And I was driving 26 miles to church. I'd be gone for hours. I'd come back and forth. And so DC would say, DC had a project in the Boy Scouts. And DC said, Daddy, can you help with this project? I said, I will some, but right now I've got to go to work. All right. Then he come out and said, well, Daddy, can you help my project? And I said, well, right now I've got to go to church because somebody's in the hospital. He said, okay. Then he come back and he'd say, Daddy, can you help my project? Well, we're working with the Boy Scouts. I've got to leave. I've got to take care of all of y'all. I just can't take care of yours right now, but I'll be back. And every time he come to ask me, I tell him, well, I got a wedding to do or a funeral or I got something to do at work. I got to go to work. And so finally, it was on a Christmas. I finally got a couple of days off at Christmas. And my brother was visiting my dad, who was across the street from us. And I saw DC coming out with this project. I said, well, bring it here, son. We can work on it now. He said, oh, Dad, don't worry about it. He said, Uncle Gary's going to help me. You could pray for somebody or something. And I said, right then, I looked over at Beverly, and I said, I sit right here, and I've missed the whole point. When you show your kids and your wives and your family attention, no matter what kind of attention it is, if it's positive attention, of course, no matter how long it may be, because it may just be quality versus quantity, but still, if you can show them some, you know what they feel? They feel like they're worth something. None of that, but then, watch this, being attentive as you watch. You watch. You're paying attention to what's going on. You're there in case you have to jump up underneath them and catch them and hold them and do whatever. So, again, Bethany right now, that's the biggest two things she wants right now in that hospital room. Is, am I worth something, Daddy? She told the nurse yesterday, she said, you know what? She said, my daddy and my mama have showed me something. She said, next to God, during this whole thing, she said, next to God, they showed me I was number one. And I said, girl, that's the way it's always been. You just ain't seen it like this. I said, now you're getting a chance to see it. Heavy. And she says, yes. She said, but I'm telling you, Dad, I feel it more than ever. I know I'm number one. And thank you for caring. I said, thank me for caring. I said, okay. You're going to see that clock. See time. Y'all see that? Look, that's so cool. Watch. Here's the clock watch. And it says time. Isn't that cool? You know, look, my idea of intellectual stimulation is counting the 10 with Big Bird, okay? All right. Hebrews 13:5. Time. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. In the Greek, it goes a little bit deeper. In the Greek, it says, never will I leave you. Never, never, never will I forsake you. In the Greek, when they wanted to really stress something, they would say the words multiple times. And so in the Greek, it doesn't just say never. It says it two or three times. I mean, this is such a powerful thing God's talking about. And again, this is what your kids need. Here's the time again. Watch this. Leave. He said, I'll never leave you. He's talking about a physical thing now. I'm here. You see me. I'm here. I'm going to make time for you. Never again did I hear DC say, you just go pray for somebody, Daddy. You go ahead. You're too busy doing all the church stuff. You're too busy working at Procter & Gamble. You just go take care of that. Uncle Gary's going to help me. Cut like a knife. I said, it'll never happen again. It never did. Leave, a physical thing. And forsake is emotionally. You can trust. I'm going to spend time with my children. I'm going to spend time with my family. And I'm going to make sure that it's not just physical, but it's going to be emotional. There's going to be that divine connection in there, because that's what your family needs. And husbands, we are the ones responsible for making sure this happens. Amen? Okay, y'all guys looking at me like y'all wanting to throw something up here. Please, if you do, a Big Mac would be nice. If it was hot. Okay. They need help. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't be afraid or tremble. This is the Old Testament version of what we just read. For the Lord God goes with you. He will not fail you or abandon you. And, of course, I love this. God is our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in trouble. Again, I was sitting there, and I'm thinking, I'll be sitting in that chair, and Lord knows they got Sealy. Did y'all know they got Sealy posturepedic chairs at the hospital? They're Sealy posturepedics. They got real thick cushion, and they got all. That's not what I was saying. No, they're doing the fusion center. In the fusion center where Bethany's getting that four-hour treatment, oh, they're hot. They're good. They got heaters on them, and they got vibrators, and they got all kinds of stuff. But they're not that worried about the people sitting with you. But I'm sitting there, and by the time I get asleep, I hear Bethany go, Dad, Dad. And I go, what is it, Beth? And she'll go, I need some more water. I say, I do too. When you get yours, get mine. She says, I'm hooked up. And I said, well, I'm out of that gas, so we're sharing it. Go ahead, go get us some. I play with her. You know, it's all right. Again, our kids need to know that if push comes to shove, we'll drop what we're doing to help them. It's a very powerful, powerful statement. I see this. I love this one too. You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If then the Lord and the teacher wash your feet, so also you wash the feet of another. For I gave you an example that you should also do as I did to you, John 13:13-16. Again, I was looking up stuff, for example, how God spoke when he was examples. This is the greatest one, other than the cross, this is the greatest example. And he actually said, this is an example I want you to follow. And I thought about this, and I talked to DC and Daniel all their life coming up, and I talked to Bethany, and that was, watch this. And this is, the scripture does this. Watch this. Never forget, number one, where you came from. Never forget it. Don't ever think you're so big, you're so bad, you're so smart, you know, that you're above and beyond. Never forget where you come from. I tell the boys that all the time, you know, and I watched them over the years. Now, sometimes it got him in trouble because Bethany come to me, and, of course, he finally got her in trouble. But Bethany was working with these people, and I said, Bethany, I don't think these are good people. That's when she moved out of the house. I said, Bethany, I don't think these are good people for you to be around. She said, Dad, you be around these kind of people all the time. I said, no. I said, I minister to those kind of people all the time. I don't stay with them. You're around them. And she says, yeah, but I said, I'm going to tell you, I sense it. I see it. I know it. These guys are on drugs. And she says, well, you've ministered to drug people all the time. She said, I want to be like you. And I said, Bethany, I'm trained. I'm 50-something years old. I am trained. And I don't wind up being part of it. I come into it, and I help them get out of it. You're going to mess around. You're going to get in trouble. And she did. But the whole point of it is she kept saying, I'm trying to be like you, Dad. I'm trying to be like you. I want to help them. And they took advantage of that, and that's how she got in trouble. But again, never forget where you come from, and always treat others like you want to be treated. Those two right there will take you a long ways. And if fathers, if we can put that in our child's minds, wow, that's a powerful, powerful thing. Almost through. I told you it won't be long today. One more. One more. Fathers are in the restoring business. Now, I'm not talking about a 48 Ford either. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I just chose that one because of what that means. When a sheep, two things happen. Either a sheep gets wet and falls over and rolls over on its back, or it gets full and it falls down and rolls over and it gets on its back. It's helpless. Because when a sheep gets on its back, it can't do anything. It just lays there. And if somebody doesn't see that sheep, watch it all the time. Know its worth and watch it all the time. Eventually, the gas is built up in that sheep, and I'm not kidding, the sheep will literally explode. insides explode because the gas build up. And so the shepherd, because he knows they're worth it, and he's watching them, and he's protecting them, and he's with them, all this stuff that we talked about, this is the last one, take all those things, because he's their fighter, he's attentive to them, he's spending time with them, he's helping them, he's the example before them, and now he's the one bringing restoration. Because he looks and he sees that sheep turned upside down, and that sheep helpless because it can't move, and because either because it got wet or because it got full, one or the other, but it's there and it's doing its legs, and eventually it'll swell up till it blows up. What he does is he goes gently, goes to the sheep gently, and he takes the sheep and he rolls it back over and he sets it on its feet so the gases will go away. You know what that's called? When the shepherd reaches down and catches that sheep and he picks it up and sets it on its feet, that's literally in the shepherd talk, it's called restoring the sheep's soul. So, picks it up, turns it over, that's restoring its soul. I can't think of the times in my life with my youngins, especially these in Denver, because they were preacher's kids. But I did find out why preacher's kids were so mean. You know why? Because they hung around the deacon's kids. That's a joke, y'all. Okay, the reason a lot of times why you think the preacher's kids are always the meanest is because they're the ones that you're looking at the most. So while you're watching them, the other kids are getting away with murder. You're watching the preacher's kids. Plus, the preacher's kids sometimes are held to such a high standard that it puts too much pressure on them and they can't live up to it. So my heart goes out to preacher's kids everywhere. I've always wanted to minister to preacher's kids because of that. But here we go. Watch this. God's called us fathers to help bring things upright again in their life. When they're upside down, maybe it's because they've messed up in school, or maybe it's because they've messed up with a friend, or they've messed up, like Bethany, when she got messed up with those people that I asked her not to mess with, and she messed with them anyway. You know, I told her, I was right there the whole time. Matter of fact, I said, okay, now that all this has gone down and everything's going through, who's here with you, Bethany? Are your friends here with you? She said, no, Dad, they're all running. I said, who's here with you? She says, you and Mom. I said, I want you to remember that. And by the time we got everything restored and got her back up on top of her feet, the cancer hit her. And now she's back over. But now, with the doctor's help, we're trying to bring her back up. But still, again, fathers, again and again and again, it never stops. They never get too old. They need you to be a fighter, be attentive, spend them time, constantly help, be an example for them, and help keep bringing restoration in their life. If you will do that, wow. Matter of fact, that's how you claim your destiny. You're a kingdom man. We're different. We walk to a beat of a different drum. You know, I was feeling so good the other day. I was downstairs, and I come up. When I come up, there was a woman pushing her dad out. He had cancer. He was pitiful. She was pushing him out, and her boys were with her. And as they're pushing him out, I waited. And as I was waiting, finally, she looked over at her boys and said, hold that door for that young man. I went. And I said, are you talking to me? And the lady says, yes, young man. And I was old enough to be this girl's daddy. And so I come back and I told Linda, I said, I was at the elevator. And I said, they pushed out this old man. And I said, and the grandkids were coming out and the mama, and the door was getting ready to shut. And she said, hold the door for the young man. She said, when they start calling you young man, you know what that means? I said, what she means? You're getting old. No slack whatsoever, none. All right. Come on up here, BJ. God has called us to be kingdom men. You don't have to have you do not have to give birth to a child to be a father. There's people every day watching you. There's people every day that you're leading. There's people every day that you're guiding. There's people that you don't even know is watching you. There's people, matter of fact, wives, if you think you don't want your husband anymore, you think you can't handle your husband, he's aggravating, you want to get rid of him, I guarantee there's 10 women that would take him. I heard somebody say, well, got any numbers? No. You got a few numbers? We'll make some calls. We can fix this today. We're not perfect, none of us. But we're called to be kingdom men. We are called to make a difference. We are called to be mighty men of God. On everybody that will, let's just come in the altar and let's just pray a little bit. Everybody that will, let's just come on to pray. Father, I love you and I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, that you're alive and well and you're on the throne. And I know, God, that you've got your hands on us. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint in a very powerful way. Meet the need in all of our lives. God, we all slip and fall so many times. Help us, God, even when we do fall, not to be looking so much at the fall, but look at where we slipped, where we tripped. That's where the answer is. Touch us, God. Lord, I ask you to touch all the fathers in here. Minister to them mightily in the name of Jesus. Give them the strength to do all this stuff, Lord, because it's heavy on us. It's heavy. Heavy. I feel the heaviness. Ask you to touch us right now, to all the fathers, to touch the mothers. Help them, God, to help us to do what we're supposed to do. God, help us, Lord, to be examples. Help us, God, to make the difference. Help us, God, in the name of Jesus, to do what we've got to do. Father, it's an awesome responsibility. But God, we can do it with your help. We can do it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. The true King would die for me. Amazing love, how can it be? Joyful. In all I do, honor you. Yes, ma'am. months ago, before Bethany was before Bethany actually got sick, Eddie came up to me one day and he said, "I noticed something about a lot of your sermons and Bible studies." I said, "What's that?" He says, "There's something very special." I said, "What is it, Eddie?" He said that you always talk about God's got this. He says, you're always saying God's got this. And I really didn't pay attention to it. I didn't realize I said it so much. Well, yeah, I did. I went back and looked. There's a lot of times I said God's got this. But it's been amazing to me because that's what Beth keeps saying. God's got this, Dad. God's got this, Dad. God's got this, Dad. I apologized to her for not getting her sooner to a cancer doctor, but I was following another doctor's advice, and she says, "It's okay. You did what you needed to do. It's okay. God's got this." Then I apologized to her for the day she was hurting under her arm, and I thought she was playing. And so I got on her really sharp here at the church. I felt so bad about that once I found out she had cancer. Went the next day, and that's when I found out she had cancer. I'm thinking, good God. And I was arguing with her about, you know, because that's part of her making the Pope cut stuff. And I apologized to her so many times. She said, "Dad, don't worry about it. God's got this. God's got this." And all I can say to the fathers today is if maybe you felt like you've blown it in some areas, just remember this. God's got this. He's going to take care of things. You know, I got presents for Father's Day and all this stuff, but one of the greatest things I got this whole Father's Day, well, number one, is be with Bethany. But number two, just Daniel this morning. Daniel said, "Happy Father's Day, Pops, 143, which I love you." And he said, "Thanks for always setting the standard for me." That's worth $1 million. Because I don't think I always set such a good standard. But in his eyes. Again. Look at somebody and say, "God's got this." Even if you messed up, God's got it. God's got it. The Bible says that he can restore the years that the cankerworms took away. He can restore it. He can take care of it. Even if you messed up, God can take it and fix it and give you a chance to take care of business. Amen. Tuesday night, we're talking about God's purpose. So you don't want to miss that Tuesday night. And if something should be going on with Beth like it was last week, I couldn't come last week because when Bethany got to the hospital, she was swelling. So we carried her to the hospital Saturday because if it's anything different, call us. So we called her and said she's swelling, her feet and her belly swelling. They said, "Bring her up here." So we brought her up there, and her pulse was 36. And that's not good. So by Tuesday night, her pulse was 160. And so they're trying to reel it back down. And so I really didn't feel like I could leave her. And so that's why I weren't here Tuesday night. I just feel like I couldn't leave her. But other than that, I'll be here Tuesday night, and I'll be here all Sunday. I couldn't be there Sunday because I was in the middle. I was in the suite at the emergency room. I keep saying suite because we were like 15 hours in those chairs, praise God. But I had Bethany on the bed. That was the most important thing. Bethany was on the bed. Bethany had constant attention. They took care of her in that emergency room. I couldn't have asked for any better care for her in that emergency room. And then that day, they kept hollering, "Trauma team, trauma team." So it took so long to get to her because, I mean, they were still taking care of her, but it took so long to really get really deep with her because they told me the next day, one of the guards came in and told me, one of my friends said, "You kept hearing trauma team, trauma team, trauma team." He said there was like 5 gunshot victims brought into the hospital. We were taking care of the gunshot victims. So it kind of put Beth and all of them on the back burner, you know. But again, God's got this. God's got it. God's got it. God's got it. Amen. Let's all stand. Brother Steve, you dismiss us in prayer, please.